this all the time. One of them, a program on the thing that it's called Surrounded on the Fox Channel. You have women on there that surround this man, give him trouble. Of course, that's what they all do. But they give him trouble. They call it Surrounded. And I don't know how many times I have heard a couple of these women make this statement. I'm a good person. And some of them aren't even saved. They don't have any religion. And they say, but I'm a good person. How many times have you heard that on television? And how many times have you heard it when you talk to other people? They say, but I'm a good person. The only good person who ever lived was Jesus Christ. Amen. And so this is something that I just felt led to talk about it today because I think it's something that's very important. Were you born as a good person? No, you weren't. Remember when I used to preach about how when you were little, this is when I first came up here. I knew this even then because the seminary saturated me with it. And when Papa Mac came down there, I was his first grandson. He had me a little car that's long that I'd just been born. But he said, well, he'll grow into it. And everybody says, I'm a good person. No, you're not. You say, well, I'm saved, so that makes me a good person. No, it doesn't. So you've got to understand this if you want to be an overcomer. Otherwise, it's just going to be too much for you. Many say I'm a good person on TV. Only God is good. And by now, if you don't believe Jesus is God, I will sick Leonard Moses and Kenneth on you. Jesus is an overcomer in saved souls. And he is the only man who ever overcame in flesh that was perfect. He had two wills. He never once sinned as a man in the flesh or as God Almighty in spirit. So Jesus is overcomer and saved souls. He's the overcomer in me. He is. I guarantee you he isn't, and he's good. How much a soul responds to him determines this degree of rewards. Jesus said, it is not God's will that any should, Peter wrote, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I would have to say that God, before the foundation of the world, laid up an inheritance for every man. And it was laid up, and everybody got an inheritance. Now, poor old Esau, he was a profane man. And he didn't give a rip about the inheritance. Well, I didn't either. When I was young, my mother would have me kneel down and say, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. She was a Methodist, but she had always put that last part in there. So, you know, I thought, well, you know, how about that? But after they took me to Baptist churches, and Papa Mac and Theo raised me in Baptist churches, I discovered I was totally depraved. And, you know, this is before I was saved. I was from age 8 to 12. I was totally depraved. But I believed there was a God. I didn't know Jesus was all those names in Isaiah. I didn't know all that stuff. So how much a soul responds to him determines its degree of rewards. How much of the reward of the inheritance do you want? In other words, I don't think everybody's going to get the same degree of inheritance in heaven. So what degree will they get? Well, I would have to call it a reward. And some rewards will be greater than others. Some will shine brighter than others. And it's eternal. I mean, once it's decided, it's decided. Just like the angels, when they fell, they can't get back into heaven again. They can't repent. They made a choice. I made a choice when I was 12 years old. Why? God the Father and God in the office of the Father led me to Jesus in the office of the Son. There are not three different gods. God Himself, I would call it the Godhead, was one God, and He decided there are three offices. There are three offices, but there are not three gods. And it was the Father, it was God in the office of the Father that led me to the Son, Jesus. And I accepted Him. But God led me to Him, and it's just like Jesus leading me to Himself. And as Leonard pointed out here, I'll never forget the day he did it. He said that Jesus resurrected Himself. Well, I didn't argue with it. I thought, I never thought of that. But I said, He did. And all the power is in Him. That's what He wants us to understand. Matthew 19, 16, 17. And behold, one came and said unto Him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? Now remember who this is. This is Jesus. He's God. And He asked Him a question. Why callest thou me good? Do you think Jesus would have been overjoyed if He had said, Well, You are the Father. But that's why they crucified Him. They crucified Him because they could not accept that He was God. They would accept Him as Messiah, but to believe the Messiah was God was heresy among the Jews. He says, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Jesus is God, and He's good. He's in me. He's the only good person in me. My carnal nature is not good. I have two wills. What do you think He means when He says that I should not serve God and mammon? Jesus is also the tree of life. And they wouldn't eat of the tree of life, but they ate of the tree of the good and knowledge of the knowledge of good and evil. And so what happened? They became totally corrupt. They became completely corrupted. Well, God had already planned how He was going to restore them. It's called redemption. And He said, Adam, Eve, where are you? Don't you think He already knew? Knew exactly what they were. Knew exactly what they'd done. They had a lot to learn about Him. After I got saved, Lord, I've still got a lot to learn about Him. There's an awful lot to learn about Jesus. He's God. So they came out and they blamed each other. Or they blamed the devil and each other. They didn't say they had sinned. They didn't accept the responsibility. Adam blamed God, but he said, the woman that thou gavest me, it's her fault. And that's typical today. How much of your problems have you laid off on your wife?
All of them.
Yeah, I know. And listen, this man has learned, and that's why his face is somewhat shaped the way it is. A few more punches, and he'll be all right. But we always blame them. I blame poor old Imogene. I couldn't accept the responsibility. If something wasn't done right, I blamed Imogene. I was young. I didn't know any better. I didn't even realize I was totally depraved. But after that, things began to change. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what you call conversion. And what happens When the Father sends you to Him, first thing He tries to do after He saves you is convert you. And Jesus told him, when thou art converted, Peter, strengthen the brethren. You hold that. You've heard all that. You know it backwards and forwards. Romans 3:10-11. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. It just keeps saying none, 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 none. They are all gone out of the way. All. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So, the Bible says that he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Is he talking about Jesus? In a way, yes. Because he's the only one that ever did it. And he's provided a way where he can overcome in me. And if I do what he tells me, if I am faithful and just to forgive, if we are faithful and just to ask God to forgive us our sins, he can cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not part of it. You say, well, how can I believe that? He said so. So if you find a way of life where you goof up, and don't tell me you don't goof up, you goof up all the time. And you think thoughts, you think, oh, Lord, I'm certainly glad my wife doesn't know how I think. Well, friend, I'll tell you something else. She's glad you don't know how she thinks, too. Because it's a two-way street, but I will admit, men are the worst. And the truth of the matter is, how do you do it? I can overcome. If I run to Jesus when I go out of the way, my carnal nature takes over and I start serving mammon. And all of a sudden I realize I'm serving mammon rather than God. He's not going to send me to hell. Don't worry about that. But he has provided a way where I can ask him for forgiveness, and he forgives completely. You say, what if I don't ask? Are you really that big a fool not to take advantage of what God told you? It's like when God says something, God means it. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he's got a way when you go through life. Leonard preached the best sermon I've ever heard on this, where he had the foot washing. It's not an ordinance in the church. And Leonard very clearly outlined that, you know, he told Peter, he said, if you don't let me wash my feet, I can't have anything to do with you. Fellowship, that's fellowship. Fellowship is when you go to him in prayer and obey him. And Peter said, well, wash all of me. He said, I just have to wash your feet. That's from walking through the world. And you get dirty feet walking through the world because the world is full of mammon, mammon, manum. You cannot serve God and mammon. You say, well, oh, how are you going to do that? Well, God has taught me, and he keeps me in a lot better fellowship with him because now he's taught me, you're an unprofitable servant. You need me. And you need to come to me every time you sin. And you need to do it because I first loved you. He's taught me that. I'm a whole lot better off than I used to be. I didn't even used to know that. And so now I know it. So the first man to overcome the world as Jesus was the quickening spirit in the office of Genesis seed son. First man was not a quickening spirit. The first man was a living soul. And God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. But Jesus was God. He was the quickening spirit. He was both man and God. And he was God in the flesh. And he never once sinned in the flesh or in the spirit, which made it which made him a propitiation for our sins, that God might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. The first man to overcome the world as Jesus was the quickening spirit in the office of Genesis seed son. One God fulfilled three offices called the Godhead. The three offices were the offices of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is a trinity of offices, not a trinity of gods. We'll see only one God, only one heavenly God. So, Jesus is all three, and there is a Godhead. And Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead. And he's the one that there's no higher power. Now, I'm not going to elaborate a lot of time on this. I may even let you out early, Lord willing. Genesis 1:26a, and God said, let us, plural, make man in our image after our likeness. J.C. James is the one who taught me this. He says, let us make man in our earth becoming image after our blood flowing likeness. Matthew 28:18. I tell you, Leonard has helped me since he came here, because Leonard is dogmatic. If God says it, it means it. I really needed to check out more everything that I taught. And what I taught in last Wednesday night's message, which I had discovered, just made me love God more and more and more. And it has helped me to be very careful about what I preach. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Now, I don't just look this in English. I look it up in Greek. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I believe that. That's God. That's who Jesus is. John 1:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. We sang that song. It's the only peace I've ever had in life. You say, well, where's your peace at? It's in God. It's in Jesus. It's in the Holy Spirit. That's it. And if I don't study to show myself approved, and if I don't teach to you what God wants me to teach, I have no peace. When I was young, I didn't have enough sense to realize that I was an unprofitable servant. Matter of fact, I didn't even know that was in the Bible when I got saved. But one day I was looking at it right after I came here, and I said, they didn't teach me that in the seminary. But I said, that's the truth. I don't blame the seminary. No one has all the knowledge that God has. No one even comes close. So I just pray all the time and ask God to lead me and help me understand and to know that he's in what I'm researching. And if I'm not, please don't let me find the blinking thing. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's the overcomer. He's the overcomer. Are you saved? He's in you, Barbara. That's why you can make such good spaghetti. That's why you're such a good deacon. You're not good, Robert. But God's Spirit is good, and he's in you. And this is a wonderful thing. It's a marvelous thing. I don't mind not being good. because that's the way I am. But the Spirit of God indwells me in all its fullness, and I just run to Him like a frightened, helpless child. He says, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God except you become as a little child. A little child has confidence. Leonard's two grandchildren, they think Leonard hung the moon. Amen. And they do that, see? And they have tremendous confidence in Him. And God is so much more better than Leonard or myself or Kenneth or any of you. Why don't you have the same confidence in Him? I mean, I'm real proud of the Anna Mae's kids and grandkids, because they trust God. And I'm very proud of them. And I'm very proud of Anna Mae for setting the standard for them. But there have been a lot of people that set the standard, you know. I'm real proud of them. Matter of fact, I'm real proud of all of you. I don't mean to pick out one as a favorite, but God's in you. When you trust in Him, He's in you. He says, I have overcome the world. Now look at Mark 6:50. I love this. In Vietnam, this got me through Vietnam. Because when I'd go down to the shoreline, and I'd go down into the South China Sea, for they all saw Him and were troubled. He was walking on the water. And immediately He talked with them. Didn't leave them hanging in a lurch. And saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He said, don't worry. And they had just seen Him perform a miracle. And yet they just couldn't believe that He could walk on water. And He had just performed the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. And He brought them through the Red Sea. God brought me up here. God brought Leonard up here. God brought Kenneth up here. I think God brought all of you in here. And it's been a miraculous thing. You're not here because you just got up and said, I am going to serve God. God touched your heart. He touched your soul. And He brought you up here because God senses what's in you. And the first time I ever met Leonard and he kissed me on both cheeks, I said, this has to be a man of God or he's crazy, one or the other. Yes, you did. Oh, whiskered thing. I think he had whiskers. But I overcame. He says, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. This is the end of the tribulation period, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. This is when He comes back, and every eye shall see Him, and we come back with Him. Even so, amen. Now look what He says. This is what Jesus says. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Wow. Does that leave any doubt considering what Isaiah said He was? That's who He is. That's why some preachers say, is He your personal Savior? They don't really know what they're talking about. But yes, He is your personal Savior. And He's a person that's in you spiritually. And you worry about your kids and you turn to Him. You worry about your wife and you turn to Him. You worry about everything. So do I sometimes. And, you know, and all this time, here's someone that's got all power in heaven and in earth. Well, look at Revelation 21, 5 through 7. And He said unto me, write, for all these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I can inherit all things if I let the overcomer in me change my mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Confess my sins to Him. And when I get out of fellowship with Him, let the washing of the water of the Word restore me to fellowship. That's why I'm glad to have Kenneth and Leonard here. Sometimes I get out of fellowship and they preach a message that puts me back in, and I don't give them any credit at all, because it's God's message. And God put us all three together for a reason, and God formed this church for a reason. And you're here for a reason. He said, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, like my son. John 1, 11 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I have the power to be an overcomer by the Spirit of Jesus Christ inside me. And when I do sin, every day I have a thought or get irritated about something, want to kick the computer across the street, and I get all excited, and God just, I did it again, and I ask him to forgive me. You say, well, how do you know when to do that? Well, listen, he bothers me. He bothers me, B-O-T-H-E-R-S. He says, even to them that believe on his name. Now, this is my favorite scripture. You know, you hear it all the time. Wherefore, my beloved, they're all saved. They're members of the church at Philippi. He says, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. You see, God's got an advantage. He's not ever absent. He knows when you goof up. He knows when you goof up mentally. He knows when you goof up in any way. This workout is katergazeste. And what it means is this. God, how many times have I told you this? It's like when you got saved, you were over there at that wall. And katergazeste means to take what you've been given and carry it to an ultimate goal. And over there on that wall is the likeness of Christ. And you start off over there, and God told Peter he had to be converted. And he said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren, and you start following him. You see why I'm so glad to see you all in church? You see why Leonard's so glad to see you? You see why Ken is so glad to see you? You see why all these other people here are so glad to see you? We love you. And we love you because God first loved us. And he taught us to love you. And I've learned more about loving from Kenneth and Leonard than I ever realized was possible. And I'm still learning from them. And I hope they're learning from me. This is something that God meant to happen. There's such a thing as a bad son that ends up in heaven. And there's such a thing as a good son that ends up in heaven. And it's such a thing as a son that gets a great inheritance. And there's something like a son, a bad son, that doesn't get much. He says, work out, carry it to an ultimate conclusion, your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm still afraid of God. I'm not afraid he's going to send me to hell. I'm not afraid of that at all. But I'm afraid that I'll be cast away. I will cast myself away from the right race that God has wanted me to run ever since I got saved. And I started off awful slow. And that's the reason I went to all those places. He just let me know, you better wake up. Didn't say that to me. But I knew. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's who's in me. So how can I be an overcomer? I know he's in me. I know he's good. I know his name is Jesus. I know that he's the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. Now here's what he says. This is a church at Dardanelle. Revelation 3:4. Thou hast a few names even in Dardanelle. No, it says Sardis. That's the church there. Which have not defiled their garments. How many people have we got on our church roll that just completely quit coming to church and left. And people say, I don't understand that. You cannot serve God and mammon. So you run away from the one that bothers you. And when you're out of fellowship with God, you don't want to go to church and have your faults pointed out. You don't want it. What has been the biggest problem that ministers have in their life? Some people just will not let God hook them. They just will not. I can't tell you why, because I think it's the Holy Spirit of God that does the saving. And the preachers you have in this church try to preach the Word of God and what it means. And sometimes people just drop out of church and they don't ever come back. Don't be like that. You've been told the truth. You've been told by preachers here, visiting preachers, Kenneth and Leonard and myself, and by the deacon over there. He's the best visitor I know of. And so try to do that. Well, it is now time to go, and my legs are killing me. So I'm just going to ask Kenneth to dismiss us, and you all can go out of here.